May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, welcome to another Advent. Every year, Advent comes around, and even in this most extraordinary year, still Advent has come. Every year, our liturgical calendar walks us through the story of redemption with this kind of inexorability. Whether we are ready for Holy Week comes. Whether we are feeling resurrected or not, Easter follows. Whether we've ever felt the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we celebrate Pentecost. And every year at this time, we enter into the season of Advent. And in North America, of all the seasons, Advent offers us the greatest cognitive dissonance of the whole liturgical calendar, because it's a season of repentance set against our cultural backdrop of joy and Christmas carols and shopping and eating too much sweets. So there's this gigantic mismatch between Advent and what's happening in the world around us. Against that cultural backdrop, Advent is a season of acknowledging the brokenness of the world, a season of readings crying out for God to come, a season which is answered only by the joy of Christmas, that sort of pulse of light bursting into the world. Yet, in this most extraordinary year, Advent offers us perhaps the least cognitive dissonance of all. It is an unexpected gift of COVID. Thanks, COVID, that this year, at least, and at last, we might understand Advent in a way that we never have before. In the decades leading up to Jesus' birth, there was a messianic fervor among the people of Israel. It is an understatement to say the conditions of their lives were bad, worse than most of us can really imagine. Some 90% of the population lived on the edge of subsistence. So that means that all it took was a workplace injury, which was common, or an illness, which was even more common, a couple of days of missing work, and a family could fall into starvation. Does that sound familiar? The Romans kept prices artificially high in order to keep the people quiet. And they ruled the people of Israel with an iron fist. It reminded many of those times as slaves back in Egypt, and there was widespread wondering whether God was going to act and lead the people to freedom once again. Yet as this story played out decade after decade, and resistance movements rose and then were crushed, people began to wonder what exactly God was doing. Had they been abandoned? Had God forgotten? And that reminded them of another time in their story, less like Egypt and Moses and escape into the wilderness and then 40 years of wandering and becoming a people. Less like that. Less like a time when God had been their fairly constant companion. It started to remind them of another time in their story, a much more painful time. A time that we don't really talk about all that much. That time, 600 years before Jesus, when the Babylonians came and they razed the city of Jerusalem to the ground and they tore the temple down stone upon stone and they carried the people into exile, not just for 40 years, for 87 years. So no living person had a memory of what it had been like before the Babylonians came. and how they struggled during that time to keep alive the memory that God had ever been with them, or to hold on to hope that God would ever be with them once again. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Our readings today speak to that depth of longing in the heart of the people of God, that he would make his presence known and relieve that longing in their hearts. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Stir up your strength, O Lord, and come to save us. Show the light of your countenance to us, and we'll be saved. Verses of longing and of desperation. Advent is the season of those feelings. It's a season that reminds us that when we feel that way in our lives, it is a part of our journey of faith. Waiting and longing and desperation and those desperate cries to God are part of our journey of faith. And we are not broken if we feel that way. There is a gap sometimes when we wait for God to act. And when we are waiting for God to act, it feels like our prayers go up into silence. That is part of our journey of faith. Those prayers are right there in Scripture. That is part of our journey of faith, especially this year. And that all these feelings come during Advent, that is part of the story of God's journey with his people, because that makes the miracle of Christmas not less, but more. More astonishing. More awe-inspiring to remember that God does eventually come to us. God did come again to the people of Israel. After exile, God came again to the people of Israel in the person of the king of Babylon. Who would have thought of that? Cyrus the Great, the king of Babylon. God does come to us, not into a world that is already shiny and sparkly and all ready and prepared with all the gifts wrapped under the trees. God comes to us to a world of sorrow and hardship and struggle. A pulse of love exploding brightly into the world. When the night is darkest, the light, when it comes, shines out the brightest. Waiting and longing have their place in our liturgical calendar, and it is right now. There is a parable in the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew about how waiting is part of our journey of faith. It is the parable of the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. To remember the parable, the bridegroom is coming, but we don't know when he's coming. There are 10 bridesmaids. And they all hear that the bridegroom is coming, and they all rush to the walls to watch for him coming. And the foolish bridesmaids go, oh, he's coming. And they rush on out there with their lamps, which were full of oil, to wait for him. The wise bridesmaids say, he's coming, but we don't know when. And so they too rush out to the walls to watch for him, but they've got their lamps and they've got extra oil because they don't know how long they're going to have to wait for the bridegroom to come. The foolish foolish bridesmaids assume the bridegroom will come swiftly, and they make no plans for a long wait. The wise bridesmaids, however, prepare themselves to wait for as long as necessary in undimmed expectation of the joy that is to come. And the end of the story is that the bridegroom comes. There's never doubt. The bridegroom will come, but only those who prepared themselves for a long wait are prepared to celebrate when he finally comes. Waiting and longing are part of our journey of faith, but we do not wait passively. There are two parables that follow. The parable of the talents teaches us not to wait idly. And the parable of the sheep and the goats, as Bishop Derek reminded us last week, teaches us to look for ways to care for each other in the meantime while we wait for the coming of the Son of God. In this most unusual year, Advent meets us where we are like never before, as a community, as a city, as a country, as a people. While light flickers promisingly in the distance, Christmas, a vaccine, springtime, months away. This Advent, we wait, peering faithfully into the darkness ahead, searching for those glimmers of light. We cry out with longing that God might make this world more like his kingdom, where peace and truth and justice and goodness and righteousness and abundance and compassion prevail. May God sustain us in the waiting. May we support one another while we cry out, and may we not lose hope. The story of faith continues inexorably. The world keeps turning, the seasons keep changing, and our God remains steadfast. Thanks be to God. Amen.